Hi, everybody, and welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and I am giving you a quick shot of romance. But in this quick shot of romance, we are doing an author spotlight, and I am happy to welcome author Kelly Jameson to celebrate the release of her newest book, Crossing the Line. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. So Kelly Jameson is a USA Today bestselling author of over 60 romance novels. That's probably even higher now, though, since this was
Yeah, I think
written.
it is. I've kind of lost track of how many, but I think it's
And
more now.
novellas. Her writing has been described as emotionally complex, sweet and satisfying, and blistering sexy. She likes her coffee black, her wine white, mostly, and her heels high. She also loves watching hockey. So we're going to do some get to know you questions. I know that Becky and I have talked to you in the past, but we have a lot of new listeners, so some of the questions we may have
First,
done,
yeah.
but everybody's new.
Yeah.
So what initially drew you to the romance genre as a writer?
Well, it's what I love to read pretty much my whole life. I think I started reading romance when I was a pretty a young teenager. As many did back
As
then.
many did, yes.
Yeah. So I loved to read it, and I wanted to write it. That's, I was the one who the book didn't end the way I liked, so I rewrote it
Oh, really?
the way I wanted it to end.
So it was like choose your own adventure kind of thing. Like if they
It's
wrote it, it went this way, but if Kelly writes it, it's going this way.
Yeah. So that's basically it. I love romance. I love love.
So romance itself is like a wide variety of subgenres. Is there a particular subgenre that you enjoy to write or read? Because I know there are some authors who like they write a certain subgenre, but they typically read something different. Are you the same way, or are you kind of all over the place?
I love contemporary romance. That's what I write and that's what I read. That's my pleasure. So when I'm not writing, I want to read a really good contemporary romance. I do enjoy historical romance too. I read some of it. I'm reading one right now actually, and I l really love it. But and I don't think I could ever write historical romance. It would be the amount of research. I'd enjoy it, but I'm afraid I would get researching forever and never write a word. So, but yeah, I'm a contemporary romance girl. That's what I like to read and what I write.
Do you do any of like the paranormals or romanticies or anything like that, or do you stay away? Because
Not
I know those are
usually.
not for everybody.
Yeah, no. If I had more time to read, I would probably like to check out some of the romanticy stuff because there's so much talk about it and it's so popular right now. I've read some paranormal stuff, but usually it's things that my friends have written that I want to read because they wrote it. But it's not my go-to.
Well, and that's the thing, is that's one of the nice things about romance is there's so many different aspects to it. Like there's something for everybody.
For sure.
So can you share any rituals or habits that you have to stay focused while you're writing?
Well, that's been a real challenge for me for actually the last couple of years. I went through a period of about a year where I could not write. This was a couple of years ago. And then even when I got back into writing, the biggest problem was focus. Like I just could not focus for more than a few minutes, it seemed. And I started working with a writing partner, and we did Zoom meetings and we did sprints, which is nice because then there's somebody kind of there holding you accountable. So we'd set, a 30-minute timer and we'd both go and write and write and write and then come back and report back. And unfortunately, she's kind of given up on writing since then. So I continued doing the sprints by myself. I know there's lots of sprint groups and it's really effective. It just with time zones and different schedules, it never works
It's
out. Any group that I go
hard,
into is like, well, there's nobody there when I want to write, or they're saying I want to sprint now, and I'm like, I can't do it right now because I've got this or whatever. So I'm doing it by myself. So I set my timer for 30 minutes and I write as much as I can in 30 minutes, and then I stop and see where I'm at. And if I want to keep going, I'll do another 30 minutes. And then what I've been doing is after an hour, I make myself get up from the computer and take a break.
Okay.
Even if I want to keep going, I get up, I walk away, I do something else, like vacuum or throw in a little laundry or something. Just to make myself get up from the computer, because I feel like if I stay sitting there too long, I'm gonna burn out again. I'll just,
Right.
get so tired, or I'll just won't want to keep going. So
Right.
it's nice to get up and walk away when I want to keep going, and when I know where I'm going with this story, and then when I come back to it a few minutes later, because I don't take that long of a break,
Right.
I'm happy to keep going. So that's really been working well for me.
So
It's
do
weird, but
you, I mean, whatever works, there's like every author we talk to, that is one thing that I really like hearing about, because every author's process is so different. Like the way they think about it, the way they plan, the way, because do you plan your series or are you a pantser? Or are you kind of in the middle?
I'm kind of in the middle, I think. I used to be a total pantser, and I
Okay.
still kind of lean that way. But now I do plan out. Obviously, I get my characters all kind of figured out, and I do plan out the big turning points of the story. So I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I sort of know something has to happen at this point in the story and this point in the story. And
Right.
then and at the end, I know what they're going to learn about themselves for in order to find happiness and find love and find that they love themselves, that too. So I plan out those sort of, it's a roadmap kind of, but I don't like to plan in detail. I like to be surprised. And they
That's
often
not a
do
bad
surprise
thing, though.
me.
Well, and I was talking to an author, I cannot remember who off the top of my head it is. She's like, I always like to plan things out. She's like, but my plan never stays the way that I originally thought. She's like, because once I get into it and I'm learning about these characters and creating their story, she's like, it never ends up the way that I initially planned. And she's like, but I continue to try to do it, because, and that works for her. So she has a plan, she goes into it, but then it blows up. And she's like, and that's fine, because whatever works. And then
Whatever
I,
works.
well, and Mariah Ankenman, like talking to her, like she is a very like stringent planner. And
Ooh.
like she like actually has changed the way that she plans stuff, and it's even more like intense, which I think is fascinating that like she's so like detail oriented from like day one, and other people are like, yeah, I just start typing and see what happens.
Yeah, I have a friend who's like that too. She plans her book out in great detail. I just can't. I tried to do that once, and it was after I finished planning it, I was bored with it and I didn't want to write it
Yeah,
anymore.
you're like, I'm done with this. Let me just move on.
I like I said, I like the surprise and the discovery, and sometimes the characters take over and they do things that I wouldn't have thought of. It's like I get in their heads, I guess.
Yeah, there was another author I talked to. She said after she finishes every book, she just doesn't like anybody in the book anymore. And she's like, because you spend so much time with those characters that she's like, yep, I'm done. We can just move on now. And then she like goes into another, I think it was Janice Whitaker who said it, because she has her three pen names. So she like is rotating like her subgenre constantly, because she feels like she gets stagnant if she stays in one spot for a while, which again, it works for her and it might not work for somebody else. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about authors is everybody's so different.
I just had the weirdest experience at Christmas because I'm not sure that it's ever happened before, but I was deep into writing the book. I've just finished it now. We're working on edits now, but I was deep into it, really in the character's head, and I wanted to take a couple of days off for Christmas, pay attention to family. But we're sitting there on Christmas night, and I was like, oh my God, I miss them. I miss my characters. I've been away from them for a couple of days and I miss them. I hope they're okay. That was
But
really funny.
you spend so much time with them though. Like it's a labor of love, and it's not like a 2 or 3 day process. Like it's weeks of work that you spend with these. I mean, granted they're fictional, but it's weeks of work that you spend with these people. Which is why we attach ourselves so lovingly to them when we're done with the book. And We claim
I
that
hope,
myth.
yeah, that's what I hope is that readers get as attached as I do.
Oh, we definitely do. So there's been a big push in the recent year about the third act breakup
Oh,
and
yes.
the lack of the necessity of and all those things. I'm a big fan of a third act something. It doesn't necessarily have to be a breakup, but I read a lot of suspense books, and so like there's always a third act something. What are your feelings on the third act breakup?
Well, like you, I don't think it has to be a breakup. But there has to be something in the third act because that's the point where the characters really like it's this is their do or die moment where, like, either they're going to overcome all the things that are keeping them from being able to love with their whole heart, or they're not. And I mean, obviously, it's a romance. We want a happy ending. They need to be able to get past the things that have been holding them back. They need to learn about themselves and about their biggest fears and weaknesses and what's holding them, stopping them from being able to share their heart wholeheartedly with someone else. So it can sometimes be external, like, they get kidnapped and that's what makes them realize that, oh, hey, I
I can't live
love
without
her.
this person.
But I think it's more satisfying when it's something that happens that makes them really look inside themselves. And that's how I write them, and that's how I like to read them. Can I tell you my hockey analogy? This is how I think of it. I'm going to compare romance to a hockey game. So imagine you go to a hockey game and your team is playing and they're playing pretty good, and they score a goal and they score maybe another goal, maybe the other team scores a goal. They end up winning, like maybe it's the end of the game, it's 4-2, your team wins, everybody's saying, yeah, this is a good game. Everybody leaves and they're happy. And then imagine you go to another game and your team is playing, and maybe they're not playing their best, but things are going okay. And maybe it's like back and forth. The other team gets a goal, then your team gets a goal, back and forth, back and forth. End of the third period, coming close to the end of the game, and the score is tied. And so, like, it's tense because you want your team to win. So you're sitting on the edge of your seat, and everybody's cheering and cheering and cheering because you want your team to win. And then your team pulls the goalie. Oh, sorry, they wouldn't pull the goalie if it's tied. But I was thinking if it was they were trying to tie it up. But everybody's like excited and wanting this team to win. And then with like 30 seconds left in the game, they score a goal and yay, everybody's happy. Everybody's jumping up out of their seats and cheering and high-fiving each other. And it's just like, yeah, that. And then you leave there and you're just on a high because they pulled it out and managed to do it. So it's the different experience of you can read a story that's, just kind of nice and everything goes okay. Maybe there's a little bit of ups and downs. And at the end of the book, it ends happily and that's all good. Or you can read a book where there's a little bit more of the ups and downs. And at the end of them, they really have to work hard for the win. It ends up being a bigger
More,
high at the end and more
yeah,
satisfying.
exactly. I feel the same way. So that actually segues well into the next question. So why hockey romance?
Oh, that's a simple question. And the answer is just because I love hockey. I've always loved hockey. I've watched it since I was a little girl. Used to watch Hockey Night in Canada every Saturday night. Probably I was a baby and my mom put me down on the floor in front of the
So
black and
not
white
to interrupt,
TV.
but here's a question to ask. Are there Canadians that don't like hockey?
There
Because I
are.
feel like it's in like your blood. Like it's just one of those things.
Yeah, my son, of all people, is not really into hockey at all.
Oh, really?
And my
I mean, I'm
sister's not really.
stereotyping
Yeah, I know, right? I was kind of, do I want to be a hockey mom? Do I want him to play hockey? Because it's kind of dangerous. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. He had no interest in it. So I was like, am I disappointed or am I relieved? I don't
You're like, it's kind of a win, but it might have been fun at the
know.
same time.
Yeah, there are people who don't like it, but that's, yeah, I just watched it my whole life. When I was in high school, my boyfriend played hockey. He used to go to kids' games. He used to take me to the major junior league in our town at that time, and I would say, what's that penalty for? And he'd tell me, oh, that was tripping. So he taught me lots of stuff. I've just loved it ever since.
Well, that's good. So you have written quite a few hockey romances over the years, and then your newest book, Crossing the Line, is a brand new series, a new team and everything. Like you are connected to your other worlds, but not at the same time. But this book came out January 12th, 2025, so it is brand spanking new.
Brand new.
The tropes are hockey, brother's best friend in close proximity. It's not super tropey, which I really appreciate. I actually had to think about it for a hot minute. I was like, what else is in here? There's really not a lot, which I hate a super tropey book.
Well, that's kind of interesting too, because I've been, everybody's talking about tropes, tropes, tropes. You gotta have all the tropes. And I started thinking more about it, and I started reading up on different tropes. And if you're gonna put a trope in a book, that's what the book needs to be about. So, I mean, I could put that she's not really, it's not really sunshine, grumpy sunshine. It's because he's introvert and she's extrovert. It's not really like that. I guess it's opposites attract, and that kind of
Yeah, a little
is in
bit.
there too. But that's not what the whole story is. So,
Yeah.
I think it's good to lean into one major trope and maybe a couple of other ones, but to fill a book with a whole bunch of tropes that don't really pay off is, I don't, that doesn't work for me.
No, it doesn't work for me as a reader, so I get that. But let me just start by saying I love the dedication of this
Oh,
book. I
yeah.
think it is perfect and it's just so wonderful. So if you want to read the dedication, you just have to read the book because I'm not telling you what it is.
Okay, good. I loved it too.
Let's talk Ben and Mabel. So Mabel, she's like you said, she's an extrovert, she's a free spirit, she's very intelligent, but her spirit is really dented through a lot of this book. Like I love the way that she is so herself, but also questioning a lot of her choices about how like her she is throughout the story.
Right. Yeah, for sure. She's had bad experience. That, like you say, I like that word, dented. She's she is doubting herself, doubting who she should be. She wants to be herself, but is that who she should be?
Yeah. Well, and I think a big part of it is I didn't love the way her family were with her, which it happens. Like they didn't squander it, but they did not embrace it either. And it's so true that that kind of thing happens. Like her brother who plays hockey, like he is the best friend of Ben. His name is Merrick. And he's like the straight, easy guy. Like he's not like super flowery, like all those things. And they almost put her down with the fact that she is fully herself. Like she's successful in her own right. Like she went to school, she has her degree, and she's doing well. Like she got into a not great relationship in that. But the way that they're like, well, he keeps calling. Like, why? Like, what is this going on? It's like the fact that she couldn't be open and honest with her family, like, was it hurt my heart a little bit.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think from what I understand, it's very hard for people who've been in that kind of a relationship to tell people about it. I mean, we all hear about abused women, and not that that this story goes to that extent, but abused women who keep it hidden from their family and their friends. There's shame involved with it. I mean, it's a lot of stereotypical things and society that, blames the victim. Like, what were you doing that made him act that way? That kind of stuff. And so, and the shame, I think that's something that Mabel felt, the embarrassment that she made such a bad decision, such a bad choice. And that's, I think, that's more so what kept her from talking to her family about it than the fact that she didn't. Well, and there was they did like her previous partner. He put on a good act for them.
Yes, yes, he did.
I don't think if she had told them sooner, I think they would have supported her. But there were reasons why she wasn't comfortable doing that.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where like you can't give me a person who wasn't in a relationship who didn't try to change something about themselves to kind of
Yes.
accommodate the other person. Like we are human beings, everybody does it, but and it's one of those things where she finally realized like she comes to the realization at the beginning of the book, like I can't keep doing this. Like this is not me. Like and the fact that he didn't want her to go see one of her very best friends on an important day, like it was like an aha moment for her. But I did really
I think
love
the
her.
saddest part of all of it is that her trying to change herself for a man. That's.
And it, like I said, it's one of those things everybody goes through that. Like I know everybody that I know, like we've all had that experience. And it's like, yes, you have to accommodate and make some changes, but is it worth changing your personality? Like he just wanted to dull her sparkle so much
Yeah.
because she truly was like that outgoing, like happy person.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad she realized that at the, early in the book, that changing myself for a man is, I'm not going to do that ever again. And if that means I don't find a man, oh well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was very enlightening for her, and I think that her character and the fact that like through the book she still had those moments of was this the right decision? Is this the way I should go? Like maybe I should change myself. Like she still questions it throughout the book, but again, show me a woman who doesn't do that. It's so relatable. And I think that's one of the reasons, like, I really enjoyed her character and her character art so much, because she is the every woman.
I really loved Mabelette, and I particularly loved her extroversion and her bubbly personality because that's not me.
I'm more introverted extrovert. Like I'm not super outgoing, but like get me in the right setting with the right people, and it's a little chaotic. But let's talk Ben. So Ben is living with Merrick because he has bought a condo, but it is not done yet. Ben is kind of an awkward puppy, and I just really loved him because he's not the stereotypical hockey player. Like he is kind of nerdy, super quiet, fairly awkward, like, but he second guesses so much just the verbiage that is going to come out of his mouth. Like, you have so, like, he has a lot of internal thoughts in this book, and sometimes that's kind of off-putting. But with his character, if we didn't have that, it would not be realistic because having those internal thoughts, like, should I say this? Should I say this? What if I say this? And he just blank stares, like, before the words can actually come out.
Ben is definitely somebody that I relate to because, again, I mean, lots of us that are introverted have those experiences where we want to say something, we don't know what to say, we're thinking of what to say, and then by the time we think of something, it's like the moment's passed and now it's awkward.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So
But I
yeah, getting
just
into his head was kind of interesting.
he just he's just so and again, like he's just such a real character. And I feel like sometimes when we're reading romance, like sports romances or really any romance, sometimes you get one of those characters, you're like, I can't really believe that that is like how people actually are. But like with him and with Mabel, like people are like that. And like, yes, he's a hockey player. Yes, he's professional. But it also goes to show that just because you are a professional hockey player does not mean you are this like outgoing, like chaotic person, which I mean, some of the guys on this team are a little more chaotic and outgoing, but he's definitely not.
Yeah. A lot of books write about hockey players as if they're, the bad boy, the womanizer, the guy that's, sleeping his way around, and I wanted to because not all hockey players are really like that. So that's
No,
what
they're
I
not.
wanted to write was
Yeah.
the guy that's, stumbles a little over what to say. He's not really comfortable speaking in public, but
Yeah.
he's a good player and he'll do anything for his team. And on the ice, he's does what it takes, drops the gloves for a teammate if he has to.
Yeah.
He can be aggressive and tough, but off the ice, he's different.
Yeah. Well, and so he is in talks with the coaches about maybe becoming the next captain, which that is a big honor in the hockey world, like to be captain of the team. And but they're like, but you need to do better at certain things. Like, and so he talks to Mabel, and that's one of the premises of the book, is the fact that Mabel helps him become a little more extroverted and out of his shell a little bit. And she since she's so easygoing and outgoing, he's like, can you teach me your ways, young Jedi Master?
Yes. Exactly.
And I mean, she helps, like she tries, and it's like she almost becomes like his comfort, like his have you ever seen people with like a worry stone, like very
Yeah.
anxious people? They'll have a like he's she's almost his worry stone. Like if he can rub her arm, like
Yeah,
the
yeah,
comfort
yeah.
is there. And so like he doesn't stress out about what he's saying or how he's saying things.
With her, yeah, for sure. He's comfortable with her, or he becomes comfortable with her. At first, he's not. And I also like that because she had to, do some research to figure out what she was gonna coach him on, she learned about why he is the way he is. That
Yeah.
he's not stuck up,
Yeah.
he's shy,
Well,
which is.
and that's the thing. Like, so they knew each other when they were younger. Like, Merrick and Ben have been friends for a really long time. And so like she had a crush on him, and she always thought that he like was being like mean to her and avoiding her because he didn't like the attention. And I mean, he didn't like the attention, but not for the reasons that she thought. So like
Yes.
as she's doing her research, she learns so much about him as well. And it's like,
Yes.
well, maybe my preconceived notions were incorrect.
Exactly. And that's again, a lot of introverts are judged that way because want to be by themselves doesn't mean they're stuck up, but it doesn't mean that they don't like you. They just need alone time to recharge their batteries.
Their bucket is empty.
Yeah,
Well,
yeah.
and ironically, you talked about like spoon theory and like having the spoons. And Jenny, one of the contributors, I'd never heard of spoon theory before, but she had shared in our group chat about spoons and like how she was out of spoons. I was like, how do you run out of spoons? Like where are they at in your house? She's like, no, not real spoons, like metaphorical spoons. I was like, oh, and then I read your book and I was like, hey, she's talking about the spoons.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we all only have so much energy to deal with certain things. And for extroverts, they want to replenish their spoons by being around people and interacting with them and having fun. But introverts want to go off and be by themselves. And I mean, obviously, a relationship between an extrovert and an introvert could have a lot of conflict. And there is some that way with Ben and Mabel. But she learns a lot about him and how to deal with his needs too, that.
Yeah, there's a lot of learning on both sides too, because
Yes.
he appreciates her extrovertedness more after like living with her and all of those things. And the fact that like he gets upset on her behalf when her brother is like, it's not surprising something like this happened when a couple of things happened, and he's like, why are you not more supportive of her and like her personality? Which I really liked. Like he's gonna throw down for her.
Yeah, and that's him. Like I said, stands up for his team. He'll stand up for the people he loves. It's sometimes easier for introverts to stand up for other people than for themselves.
Oh,
So,
yeah, 100%.
yeah.
So, what's next?
Well, I have a couple things in the works. I like I said, I just finished editing a book, which is the second Storm book.
Okay. Now,
We're
can you
trying to
tell us
decide
who
on
it
it.
is or?
It is about the goaltender, Ford Archibald,
Okay.
also known as Archie. So this is the first book I've ever written about a goalie. With all the hockey books that I've written, I have never before written main male character who's a goalie. I think I was always, because goalies have this reputation of being kind of nutso. I
Little
think
bit.
I was always afraid that I couldn't get that right, that I couldn't make somebody crazy enough, but still relatable and lovable. So I don't know if I've done it. I guess we'll find out. But it was a lot of fun writing him. Excuse me. We're trying to figure out a title for this book now. We haven't got one yet. So stay tuned for that. It's coming out in August, not until August. And I'm also working on a multi-author project. It's kind of been a secret thing, not that it's a big secret, but it's been in the works for years. We're all have other things going on, and it looks like we're finally getting close to being able
That's exciting.
to release it. I'm hoping we'll be able to get it out this spring. So it's again, we'll share more details as it gets closer, but it's a two other authors and me are writing a three book series about three sisters who inherit a winery in Napa, California. Yeah, have a big crazy family that they have to deal with, and of course, romance.
Of course. So is it going to be similar to like your Bang Brothers series that you did, like where it's like the collaboration, or are you co-writing with them, or is it
We're
going to be
not,
separate
no, we're not
books?
co-writing. We're each doing one book, but there's is some overlap, and so it's a bit of a challenge because we have to be, there is some collaboration that's required because, book one, this happens, and then when I'm writing book two, this happens. I have to make sure that it works with book one, and then same with book three, has to work with two and one. So there's still lots of discussion that we're
You're
having to
like,
have.
thankfully I'm book two and not book three.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's and that's partly why it's taken so long. It's just there's a lot of work involved in it, but it's super fun, and I love Napa, I love wine, so.
It sounds exciting. I honestly love collaborations like that. Bryn Asher and Layla Frost did a duet a couple years ago where they did that, but it's like you can read one book and the scene is the exact same as in the other book, but it's from the different perspective. Like it's just, I just really love when that happens. And also like it shows as a reader that these authors took the time to work together on these things because like they made it work so well and it blends seamlessly. So, as a reader, I appreciate that.
Okay, good. There is that. The prologue is the same, is a scene that's going to be in all three books, just from a character's point of view.
Oh,
Yeah,
I'm
I mean,
so excited for
it's
this.
easy to write a book, a multi-author series, when the characters don't have any interaction. Super easy. That's
Like you
not with
just
this
need,
one,
well, and it's like the only interaction is when like they show up in the other books. Like if it's, I'm really excited about that. Not that I'm not excited for the hockey book, but this sounds really intriguing.
it's fun. Lots
Well,
of wine.
thank you. Thank you so much for telling me all the things, and thank you so much
You're
for coming
welcome.
on.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about books and my books and all the things.
And so, for everybody else, there were other questions that we're going to ask, but for time's sake, we did not get to them. So I will be putting the questions and answers in the website post with the author spotlight so you can get all the other answers since Kelly was graciously able to fill out my questions that she didn't have to do. But that's okay. Until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.